May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Because we're in Christ, and in that sense, his history is our history, that in our baptism, when we became Christians, was automatically identified with his baptism. And what was happened to him was a prototype. He is a prototype of the new creation. God didn't need to be baptized. Jesus, though God, never anything less than God, lived on earth as a man in absolute utter dependence on God by the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus, as a prototype of the new humanity, the new creation that we're identified with in our own baptism because we become in Christ, that his whole body was baptized. And so what's true about him became true about us. And the thing that fascinates me about that is I kind of go back to that place in Colossians 2. It says, for all the fullness of deity is embodied in him, and we have, past tense, been made complete or made full in him. And one of the things that we've been saying a lot the last couple of years is that, sadly, most Christians are mistaken because they're always living their Christian life towards something instead of from something. They're always living their Christian life towards fullness and towards anointing instead of realizing that you begin there and that we believe from something. We've been seated in the heavenly places. We have to think from heaven. Not always praying towards there, but praying from there, thinking from there about who we are in Christ. And so that baptism is so amazing to me because two things happen. And two things happen that any really good father would do if they could, if they were about to send their daughter or son out into a world where there's a lot of battles. Now remember, the very first thing that happened to Jesus after his baptism was that it says in Matthew chapter 4 that he was led about into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit to be tempted by the devil. It was God's intention for him to engage in war. The Luke passage says he was led about by the Spirit while in the wilderness. And so from his baptism, we have the Holy Spirit's leading him and enabling him. He was led about by the Spirit while in the wilderness. So he did what he did as the Son of Man and dealt with the temptation and the testings that lasted for 40 days. They got worse at the end in the power of the Holy Spirit. But it was the Holy Spirit himself who plunged him into battle. The moment that you become a Christian, you're plunged into battle. Victorious Christian living isn't a battle-less environment. If the land of Canaan represents spirit-filled living, the land of Canaan was a place of victory and supernatural victory. But it was a place of daily battle. And so you can't be an overcomer if you don't have something to overcome. Victoriousness, victory, the very word assumes battles being won. And so supernatural Christianity isn't a battleless world, and Jesus was plunged into this after his baptism. But it's amazing to me that the Father gave him two gifts before it happened. First, he established his identity as the beloved of the Father, that he was loved. That's really important, because Jesus didn't get sent by the Spirit into the wilderness to do battle because he had done something wrong, because the Father was not pleased with him somehow. And because we do live in a world at war every day spiritually that affects us physically, emotionally, mentally, in every other way, it's easy for the enemy to come with accusation, because isn't that what he is? The accuser of the brethren? Always telling you that it's something you did wrong, it's somehow your fault, or you're not whatever. But the truth is that when your identity as the beloved of God is established, no matter what comes your way, no matter what you find yourself in, you live in the environment. The conscious context is of his banner over me, still love. This isn't happening outside of the context that I'm his beloved. He said that about Jesus before Jesus had done one thing. He says that about you and me. That's how we start, before we do one thing. Our belovedness before him The fact that he finds pleasure in loving us has nothing to do with the fact that I did something to earn that. That was true about you from the beginning. We love him because he what? First loved us. While we were yet sinners, he died for us. He established his love for us before we ever did one thing to earn that love. Therefore, you can't unearn what you never earned in the first place. It's a gift from God. And so our Father establishes our identity as the one who loves us and who finds pleasure in us, even in our weakness, immaturity, and imperfection. He may not be pleased with what you're doing, but he never stops finding pleasure in loving you. He has set his love on you. You are his beloved, period. And you live under that banner. But the second thing that the Father did, like if you had a son or a daughter about to go out into the world, knowing all they were going to face, two simple things you would do if you could. One, you would remind them that you love them. And that's something they can always know. Your dad loves you. Your mom loves you. Two, I'm going to now give you everything I can, all the resources I can spare to make sure you're successful when you go. Well, you see, as the Father was declaring the identity of Christ as his beloved, the Holy Spirit came and rested on him as proof of his belovedness and as the gift. He's referred to in Scripture as the promised Holy Spirit. I was looking that up this morning. All the places where he's called the promised Holy Spirit or the gift of the Father. And then four times in the Upper Room Discourse, he's referred to as what? The Helper. Isn't that what you do as a parent? If you're sending them out the door into battle to remind them that you love them and give, if you could give them a gift that would miraculously help them to be successful, wouldn't you hand it to them? Isn't that what a good parent would do? That's exactly what happened in your new birth. You started there. That your Heavenly Father called you beloved. And in that belovedness you move and are conscious of, there's such freedom. You're no longer living in guilt and shame, trying to earn, perform. I'm just beloved. I'm not confused about things that come into my life, that evil can't rule and govern. I'm beloved. I live under a banner. But he also gave me a helper who isn't just with me, but who's in me. And he's called, Jesus said, another helper. And the word there in the Upper Room Discourse is another just like me. He gave me a helper who enables me with the very life and the ability of Jesus. And then sends me out in the wilderness, knowing that as I get tempted and the struggles and things that come, I'm beloved and I've now been enabled supernaturally to be victorious in this wilderness. That's how we started. That's how you came dripping wet out of the waters of baptism. That's the new creation that you were and that we get to live out every day. We live from that. Conscious of that every day. You love me. You've given me all the help I need in this gift called the Holy Spirit to be victorious in this battle. And I'm not stunned at all at the battle because the prototype gave me an example. I've sent out to be a conqueror, an overcomer. Oh, and by the way, destroy the works of the devil everywhere I see it in the lives of others. And I've been given the helper to do that. I got a message from one of the priests in Brazil because we saw so many people get healed. I think I told you the story about the cancer on the guy's nose and back falling off, the people who were blind who got healed. And so he sends me this letter. He said, just pray for us. There's just a lot of relational attacks going on afterwards. And I basically wrote him back and said, oh, bless your heart. Of course you are. You don't think the enemy would stand up and applaud? And all I said to him was, but let me just remind you, Father Yvonne, because he said, please pray I have wisdom. I said, you have wisdom. You have the helper. He has all the wisdom you'll ever need. Just go into the situation, joyfully resting in the reality that all the wisdom that he has, you have, and just go walk in it. And remember, the battle's not yours, but his. Be led about in this wilderness, this battle, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.